Welcome to the Manly Pinterest Tip Show.
Hello, folks. I'm Jeff C. And you're not. Are you getting clicks from social media but no conversions? Are you frustrated that your social traffic isn't turning into new customers? If you answered yes to any of those questions, then today's show is for you. But first, I want to offer a special just for my podcast listeners. If you ever wanted some help with Pinterest or visual marketing, I got a special just for you. Yes, you who are listening to me right now. It's $100 off a Pick Jeff's Brain consultation. If you need help with Pinterest or live video or any sort of visual marketing, I'm here to help. Just go to manlypinteresttips.com/podcast special to get that special price. That's manlypinteresttips.com/podcast special. Well, today's show is all about getting your social media traffic to convert. If you listened to the show in the past, you know that myself and a lot of my guests rave about how visual marketing and especially Pinterest can really drive traffic to your site. But what happens if you're driving traffic and nothing happens? Well, we're going to talk about that on the show today. I was honored to be asked to be a part of a panel for SEM Rush's live show hosted by Rebecca Radice, who's actually been a guest on this show before. And if you don't know who SEM Rush is, you're missing out. SEM Rush is an all-in-one marketing toolkit trusted by companies and brands like eBay, Quora, HP, Booking.com, and many more. If you haven't given them a look, go and check them out today. I learned a ton of new strategies on this show with Stephanie Liu, Mike Alton, and our host Rebecca Radice. So let's jump right into this conversation on converting social traffic.
And we're live. Well, hello, and welcome to the first installment of SEM Rush Social Chat 2.0. I am your host, Rebecca Radice, and today we are talking about your social traffic and why it's not turning those looky-loos into leads, traffic, and sales. And I am joined by our illustrious panel of experts. I'm going to kick it off with Stephanie Liu. Stephanie, this is our first time together on live video. I am so excited.
It's our first time hanging out and we're already color coordinating. This is totally a match made in heaven. Hey.
How we made that happen, I don't know, but welcome. So excited to have you here.
Thank you. Yeah, this is amazing. I'm like so ready for this. I loved our pre-chat. You guys are in for a wild ride. We've got plenty of stories to tell you.
Yes, indeed. Yes. So Stephanie, you are the CEO of Lights Camera. Did I get that right? Lights Camera Live.
Yeah, you got it right. There you go.
All right. Yes. So you are our live expert, obviously also running your own business. So definitely an expert on today's topic. And I look forward to so many of the stories we were just chatting about. I think our audience is going to have a lot to take away from your experience and what you're working on right now.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really great. So thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Mike Alton is also here with us. Mike is the founder of The Blogging Brute. Mike, how you doing?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I am really, really excited for today's webinar.
Very excited to have you here. And Jeff C. also in the house. How are you, Jeff?
I am doing great. Thank you for having me. I appreciate the ask.
Yeah, yes, indeed. So Jeff is the owner and creative director at His Design and on the social team at Social Media Examiner. And I should also say that Mike joins us from Agora Pulse as well. So I love that we've got the mix of entrepreneur, business owner, as well as that big brand experience that I think we're going to get a very nice mix of ideas as to how to get that social traffic to actually refer. So you guys ready?
Ready.
Yeah.
All right. So as I said, today is a panel of experts, but we're going to be super interactive. If you have questions, if you have feedback, if you'd like to ask a question of anyone specific on this panel, just drop that down into the comments. We will be actively monitoring that and make sure that we get to all of those throughout. So I want to start with a big myth. I think one of the biggest myths is that more traffic equals more conversions. But of course, we know that that's not always the case. You know, when conversions are lacking and we're looking and we're trying to figure out what's going on because our social interaction is high, where do you begin and how do you get to the bottom of what's really going on with your traffic and conversion problem? Mike, let's start with you.
Yeah, you're right. It is a bit of a myth because all traffic's not equal. All traffic's not the same. It's not all coming from the same place. When we go into our Google Analytics, we can see the traffic's coming in from Facebook, from Twitter, from Google Search, from other websites. And just because we're getting more traffic doesn't mean it's coming in from those exact same places. But to your point, then we need to figure out why isn't it converting or what's converting and what isn't. And I mentioned Facebook. So let's imagine for a moment that you got 100 visitors from Facebook last month. Some of them converted, most of them didn't. And we want to drill down and figure out why. Well, you can go into Google Analytics and you can add what's called a secondary dimension. And you can see from all that traffic from Facebook, what did they do? What content did they go to? And you can kind of get a sense then of what's going on, you know, how they're converting and on what pieces of content. But that still doesn't answer the question of where did they come from? Because Facebook's a big place. They could have hit the call to action button on your page. They could have been clicking on your posts, but they could have been clicking on somebody else's shares of your content. So the one tip that I want to put in here is that we want to look at that referral traffic and we want to try to understand where it's coming from within that Facebook ecosystem. So I want to suggest that you use Google UTM parameters. You put campaign tags and source tags and content tags on your call to action button, on your cover photo, if you're inserting a link there in the description, and certainly on the post that you're sharing to your Facebook page. And this is also true for every other social network, by the way. So you put those campaign tags and those content tags, those UTM parameters on those links. So then you can go into Google Analytics and you can see where the traffic's coming from. And that's going to help you understand, oh, okay, we did these posts last month and we generated this much traffic, but it was only these three posts out of the whole mix of posts that actually converted. And so that tells you that's the content, those are the posts that are actually going to drive conversions, not those other ones. Maybe there's a purpose for those other posts, but they're not converting.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's terrific advice, especially when we think about Facebook still being that big boy on the block when it comes to social media, social traffic, where our audience is actually hanging out. And I think that that can be a mystery too, in and of itself, is just getting to the bottom of where's the stopgap. So what's creating a problem between the content I'm sharing, and then how do I understand what people are actually clicking on? And then I would take that one step further with you. You're talking about taking those learnings, and then is that a rinse and repeat situation for you? So are you just consistently going back, taking a look at that, and then iterating upon that?
Yeah, right. That's absolutely. And I'll be honest, this is something I don't do all the time. But when I have a major sales campaign going on or a major initiative going on, I'll be sure to add those tags. That way I know, post to my profile, post to my page, post to groups, post to that influencers are doing or affiliates or whatever the case might be. I can see what's happening with that content and whether or not they're performing the way I want them to.
Yeah.
I want to just bring up that one of the things that we do, and I want to piggyback on what Mike is saying, the importance of those tracking codes, those UTM parameters. It sounds really nerdy and geeky and hard to do, but they even have a tool where you can just drag your links in. It'll fill it out for you. What we do at Social Media Examiner, as I'm on the social team, is that we have an entire UTM library, a huge Google Doc where we track everything. Since we're putting out content so much every day, we really want to know where it's coming from and what, you know, platforms performing the well, and if ads are working and all that stuff. And we have a UTM librarian, and her job is to actually create these UTM codes for each, and it's broken down from each channel, and that whoever's in charge of posting that stuff on like Pinterest or say Instagram, we have the right links that we use and it's broken down for us. So you don't have to be that nerdy and that geeky, but just having a simple, you know, Google Doc where you can take your your links that you're doing, drop them in that, you know, UTM creator that Google has for you, and then pasting it there and having a record of that so you can just kind of get yourself in the habit of doing that.
So, talk a little bit about your process then, as you're loading all of this into this doc. Mm-hmm. Are you sitting down as a team? Is there one person on the team that is going through that on a consistent basis? What does that look like?
That's the editorial kind of arm of the company. So they take care of the UTM library, and our, like I said, the UTM librarian does all that. So I've learned this for using it for my own clients, is my process is, you know, usually I have a doc if I'm putting together a Pinterest campaign for somebody, because you really want to track, you know, because Pinterest has so much long-term traffic, you want to make sure that, you know, you're pinning the right stuff and, you know, you're getting the value you're putting into it. So I just usually take the blog post article and have a the date of when I posted it, put that in there, and then do that view of the tag tool that Google has, drop it in there, put in the campaign name, and it's usually, I just tell it's from Pinterest, and then paste that in there as well. And I do that for any other networks I'm managing. And once you get it down, the process down, it's really simple that you just need to have a one spot where you're storing it for your, I have a tabs for all my clients, and it's on Google Docs, so I can get it added anywhere. Like if I'm out on vacation, I need to, you know, access it in the cloud. So that's kind of what I've learned from Social Media Examiner and applied it to my own clients.
Yeah. Well, and to your point, you're really running blind if you're not paying attention, and it can seem a little geeky or overwhelming, right. But right. There are so many different tools, including, you know, Google, making it just super simple to be able to get that information and then make decisions based off of what that editorial team or you are looking at. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Stephanie, I know we talked about you use a lot of live video, so I would imagine this is incredibly important to you as well. But do you have any other tips outside of what we heard already here on how to track that?
Yeah. Okay. So here's what we usually do for my team as well as my clients, is that when we have our editorial calendar, we're a little old school. We actually still work off of a Google spreadsheet. And then we have a tab that's actually called the UTM Builder. And what we do is actually we have the calculations, we concatenate it. So it says, what's the campaign name? What's the term, the keyword, and the URL? And that way, whenever they're developing copy that's promoting a landing page or anything that they're putting out there, they could just flip over to the tab, plop in the URL, and it automatically builds it for them. So that way they don't have to worry about opening up another window, browser window, and all that stuff. It's all there, and they could go ahead and keep track of it.
Wow. Yeah, that's a little bit more detailed or manual, mm-hmm. But still an excellent example of you can still be old school with an Excel spreadsheet or a Google sheet and keep track of that information and make sure that you are identifying. So talk to us a little bit about your process there. If you're looking at any number of your social channels and you're saying, wow, you know, there's a problem here. We are definitely not converting off of, say, Facebook as well as we are off of Pinterest. What are your next steps?
Usually we dive right into Google Analytics. I mean, Mike pretty much broke it down in terms of taking a look at your campaign referral traffic, see what's happening there. And then I could also take a look at my Facebook pixels, right? Because if I have someone watching a live video and then they go over to the blog post that tells them step by step, that's already a lead. So I'll make that lead in Facebook Ads Manager as my pixel. And then I might have a content upgrade. So at that point, I'm tracking them from lead to registration to completing an actual purchase. That's where I could go and marry what's happening in Google Analytics from the UTM parameters to what's happening and firing in terms of the pixels. So I'll get to know like which kind of shows are actually giving my viewers the necessary information that they need in order to go ahead and make that conversion or that purchase.
Well, and I think that leads us perfectly into my next question, which is really more geared towards unqualified social traffic, because what all of you are talking about, and you definitely, Stephanie, is making sure that you're serving up exactly what your audience is looking for. And I think too often we search all over the place for the right answer instead of just really understanding why understanding what it is your audience wants, what it is that you've shared previously actually performed well, and then what's going on with that unqualified social traffic. And to me, this is really an elephant in the room that we don't talk often enough about, but I really believe is one of the first places that businesses need to look. Would you agree, Mike?
Yeah, absolutely, because it's easy to get enamored with what we sometimes call the vanity metrics, right? Numbers of followers, but also engagement, likes and shares and stuff on specific posts, even if those posts aren't actually driving business results. So if you're with us so far, we've taken a look at our analytics and we've tried to use UTM campaign parameters and that sort of thing to determine which posts are actually driving those business results. Because then we can have that in mind when we're creating the content on various social networks and we're looking at the performance of specific posts. We know a particular post should potentially drive business results. And we may know that another post might not drive sales, but it might drive engagement and it might drive subscribes and those kinds of, you know, top of funnel activities, which are still good. Those are good for brand awareness and those kinds of activities. So that's the real key at this point, is coming to that understanding that we don't want to just look at those vanity metrics. We don't want to just look at the engagement. We want to have a business reason for wanting those kinds of things.
Well, and to your point, it definitely depends on what your goals are, as far as why are you on social media? Why are you using any of those particular social channels? And what are you looking to accomplish? Jeff, talk a little bit about that with each different social channel. When you sit down with a customer or a client and they say to you, I'm not really sure, you know, what I'm looking to achieve. So for that person, it's going to be very difficult for you to figure out what exactly is unqualified social traffic. How do you help them get from that muddy area into a place where they understand what they're trying to do with all of those different channels?
You know, that's a tough thing when you're dealing with clients, because a lot of times they don't know what they want, or, you know, until you have to educate them. And so I kind of piggyback on what Mike said. It's, you know, it's the data and the unqualified traffic. You know, you want to look at whatever channel, like if let's say you are driving traffic from Pinterest to your site and you're getting traffic, but you're not getting conversions. And so you see your bounce rate's really high. They're not staying on your page. Well, why is that? And so we're, you know, all of us here, and if you're a marketer, you're having to deal with visuals, you know, visual marketing. And I know we've all talked about this. And a lot of times you're shocked of what image works, and you have an idea in your head, well, this is a real pretty one. This is going to really convert really well. And all of a sudden, these horrible, ugly images are converting, and you're like, why are they doing that? And what Mike was saying is, like, you know, drilling down and trying to understand the path through your site, why they may be, that unqualified traffic is bouncing so fast. And, you know, like, here's just a real world example is, you know, I had a great pin, it was driving traffic, but it wasn't converting and they were bouncing really high. And I was like, why is this not working? Cause it's getting the traffic. It's, you know, it's getting there. And to come to find out, it was the image on the actual pin was a disconnect from the actual blog article or the landing page that we were driving to. And so people got to it and they saw a different image than what was on the pin. And they were like, oh, I must have hit spam, or it's not right, because they don't want to read. And so that's, you know, that's what you have to really drill down and try to think of, like, why are they bouncing like this? Why is this unqualified traffic not working? And doing a little digging and going and changing stuff on the fly. Cause I know we've all been there where, like, this is great content. It's so good. Everyone should love it. And then they don't. And you're like, I thought it was good. Or I should have got more traffic. And trying to step away and not be emotional about it, but look at the data and then move forward from that.
Well, and I hear what I hear you saying is, don't just look at the data, but more importantly, really dig into it. Because from a surface level, you can have an assumption, you can have a gut feeling of what might be going on. But if you hadn't done your due diligence, you never would have gotten to the bottom of that and actually figured out that, hey, there's a disconnect. And that is exactly what's creating that bounce. So sometimes it takes a little bit more work than we initially think. So, Stephanie, you talked about content upgrades and offers, and I'd like to move to the flip side of unqualified social traffic. So to those people that are saying, okay, you know, Stephanie, I've put together an amazing product, an amazing offer. I'm driving qualified traffic over to my offers, my landing pages, but I cannot get them to pull the trigger on that purchase. What are your suggestions?
I mean, at that point, it's a good time for you to go ahead and start split testing your landing pages, right? So someone who's probably just seen like one video that you've ever done might not have that know, like, and trust factor. So your landing page is going to be really important to say, this is what this program is about. This is what this service is about. This is what other people said. There's certain elements that can really enhance your landing page to drive that conversion. Whereas there's probably other people who know, like, and trust you already, have watched all of your videos, you know, subscribe to your shows, your emails, all of that good stuff. Then when they hit your landing page, they just want the button that says skip to purchase now, right? But if you bury it all the way at the bottom, they're like, man, something happens, right? Because when you're on social media, you get a Twitter notification, someone tags you on Instagram, you get distracted. So I think really, you know, for the unqualified traffic, think about different ways that you could split test your landing pages, whether you're using something like lead pages or ClickFunnels, and see what's really working from there. Another thing that I would recommend is if you have people that have hit your sales page, right? Like, so I just had a program that launched. Some people hit the sales page, but they didn't pull the trigger. There's something else that you could do, because if they signed up for a webinar, you could send them an email, right? Or even a survey that says, hey, Rebecca, I saw that you're so interested in this program. For what reason can you tell me? Because I love feedback. Why didn't you take the purchase? Why didn't you complete the purchase? Was it because something was missing? Did you need more testimonials? And get into that mindset. Because once I hear in your own words what you're thinking, what you're feeling, what your hesitations are, the next launch that I have, I could go ahead and put that into my FAQs and make you feel much more comfortable in investing in yourself.
Yeah, great point. In just really understanding the language they're using, the words that they're using, so that you can have that commonality. And as they come to your landing page or wherever that might be, they naturally feel like, oh my gosh, she gets me. She knows exactly what I need. And here she is. Now, I would also imagine when we talk about elements that your love a video, it's probably very high on the list of ways to get to that know, like, and trust as quickly as possible. Are you using a lot of video in your landing pages?
For the very first one, yes. Yeah. So when we had the program, the first one was like a 1 minute video that says, this is how Facebook is changing the landscape of social media. This is what live video can do for you and your business. And then at that point, it's like, cool, I'm in. Skip to see what's inside the mastermind or what's inside the program. Or, you know, further along the page, that's where you start to get that social proof. You get like your best testimonial that takes them away from their first objection. If let's say for live video, I'm scared of being on camera. You get your best testimonial from your shyest member and it goes, oh my God, I'm officially launching my show. And when they see that, they start seeing as believing. Right. So at that point, it gets them further down the page to go ahead and make that purchase.
Yeah, absolutely. And somebody just asked, William asked if you would be willing to share your Google Sheet template sample, the one obviously you just talked about with the UTM parameters.
Oh my gosh. For you, William? Yes, of course. I got you.
We are a giving group here. Absolutely.
You shall receive.
So, Mike, you just launched your blogging planner, correct?
Yeah.
And I'd love to hear from you because I know you've been deep in the promotion of that, you know, all of the offers within that. And as we talk about referral traffic and social traffic and converting, talk to us about the customer journey and exactly how you're mapping those offers, because obviously you have much more than just that blogging planner. I know you're working on another big product. But when you sit down and you think about exactly what Stephanie was just talking about, your audience and their needs and their likes, and how you can really meet them exactly where they're at, how do you work through that process of matching product to that specific point in their journey?
Yeah, that is such an important question, because it's one that's, it's easy to miss this, quite frankly. The example that I usually give actually isn't a product at all. It was a digital download on my other blog, The Social Media Hat. Gets tons of traffic. And I was offering all the people that came to this site, every single person that ever came into the site, the first thing they see is an offer to download the blogging promotion ebook, you know, basically how to promote a blog post. And this was an old offer. And it was all right. It didn't get a lot of downloads. It was just okay. And it surprised me. Like many of the, you know, topics and questions that have come up so far, my first thought was, well, why not? Why wouldn't you want this massive checklist and guide on how to promote your content, how to amplify your blog and get, you know, thousands and thousands of viewers? Well, then I went into the analytics and I saw that most of the people coming into my site, and this is still true today, they were coming there to find specific answers to specific Facebook questions, how to link to a Facebook post, how to tag somebody on Facebook, because this is content that I've written before. And that was driving 75% of my traffic. So there was a disconnect between the offer I was giving them and the reason they were there to begin with. They weren't at that point in their journey. They're just learning about social media. They might never need a piece of content that's all about how to promote blog posts. So I created something new. I created the Facebook Survival Kit. Now I get hundreds of subscribers all the time to that particular piece of content, because there's a match now between where they're at and what they're looking for and what I'm offering them, right? Yeah. They're looking for answers on how to use Facebook, how to get better at Facebook. And I'm offering something even more than that. I mean, obviously they get the answer to their question, but now they also get that extra bonus piece of information. So that's where I'm at with the blogging content. And I think everybody can benefit from taking the time to think this through. Who are you trying to reach? What do they need? What are their pain points? What are their challenges? And do you have a product that solves that? Or do you have multiple products and one or two of them solve that? Because you want to make sure then that the content that you're creating, whether it's video, audio, or written, solves and talks to the problems that your products fit in. So you, like you mentioned, a planner. Well, I've got a couple, but the one that I just launched is how to start a blog. So I'm not targeting you, Rebecca, with that particular planner. It's not going to help you. You are well on your way towards, you know, having that awesome, successful blog. I'm targeting the people who haven't started yet, or maybe they've been blogging for 6 months and they're spinning their wheels, right? They haven't gotten the traction. So it's a particular type of person that I'm targeting. And I understand that out of all the content that I've created, there's only a subset that's talking to people who are at that point in their journey. They're just starting. And so that's designed to help them.
So we've talked about how to track, how to really digest and understand all of that data, and how to get to the bottom of what your audience is coming to you for. And then you just talked about the variety of different pieces of content and how to really map that to where they're at, not only within their journey with you, but where they're at within their business, because you're talking about people that if they've been blogging for a number of years, they're going to want a little bit more advanced type of information. And you've got to be prepared for that is what I hear you saying, making sure again, and I think this goes back to what Stephanie was talking about, making sure you clearly understand the needs of your audience and why they're seeking you out.
Yeah. And if I could just interject a little bit of a technical tip here. What we're talking about is, it sounds very abstract, right? I've got an audience, which is just like this nebulous thing over here, and they're coming to the site and they're looking at this stuff. Well, let's get technical for a moment, right? You've got traffic, or you're trying to get traffic, maybe even you're paying for traffic, and you're driving it to specific pieces of content. When you do that, that's your opportunity to talk to that audience specifically. You can use pop-ups, you can use links within the context of the content, and you can use sidebar calls to action. You can design the experience around the visit to each specific piece of content to suit the audience that you think is most likely to be reading that content. My basic Facebook how-to types of posts, I know who I'm talking to with that content. I'm not talking to seasoned social media professionals. I'm talking to everyday people who want to know something about Facebook. And so I can offer them something and I can say something inside that post that speaks to them and helps them and maybe sells them on something.
Yeah. Well, and Jeff, you being the host of the Manly Pinterest Show, I know you are a huge advocate, just like right. I am, of Pinterest, which, of course, there's still so much misunderstanding, I think, around Pinterest power to drive social traffic, but also be able to do exactly what Mike is talking about, serving up the exact right content to the exact right audience. Mm-hmm. Maybe give us a little bit of the behind the scenes into your process.
Yeah, well, here's, and I want to, like, just what Mike said is, you know, how important it is to know your audience and serve them up the right information. But it also, you can even drill down even more. And once again, because I love it so much to talk about visual marketing, it depends. It also depends on what channel you're putting that content out. I mean, as much as we would love to be able to make one piece of content and put it up to all the different channels and have it work just great, that's not what happens. Everything is optimized differently. And so I learned this fact when I was doing some research for a client. It was a big client like Macy's. It wasn't Macy's, but it was one. I was looking at their stuff and Nordstrom's trying to kind of get some statistics and figure out what was working. And I noticed on Instagram, they were showing their catalog of their images, and it was the ladies, their, you know, the model shots of them in the sweater, and it was, you know, perfectly Instagram worthy. And then I noticed that same account, that same brand over on Pinterest had the exact same image, but it was cut off. Their head was cut off, and you just saw the sweater. It was the same shot. They just had edited it that way. And I was like, why are they doing that? And come to find out when I drilled down to it, is people go to Instagram and Pinterest and for totally different reasons. Pinterest is a place where they go to dream and to be inspired. And those images were working theirs because they didn't want to see somebody else's face on that sweater. They wanted to visualize themselves in that sweater, which the people, that brand had learned that they were getting more click-throughs if they cut off the head. So being able to understand, yes, your audience, like what Mike was saying, but what type of images work the best for what platform you're driving traffic from can make a huge difference if you're like trying to sell a product or optimizing, you know, getting them the right content they need when they land on your website. So it's fascinating. And I think that answered your question. But anyway, that's one of the things is to drill down and really see why, you know, it can't work. Instagram is a selfie capital world. Everybody wants to see that. But that image didn't work when they just tried to do it to Pinterest. So they made adjustments and made it work.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it really incredibly important points about not just understanding your audience, but the platform and the reason that they're coming to the platform and their actual personal usage. And that leads us into Janelle's question, which is, how do you track your Instagram traffic? Maybe talk about Social Media Examiner. And you guys have a very heavy presence on Instagram, how you're using that, and then how you're tracking how effective that channel is for you.
Yeah, so Instagram for us is all about engagement. I don't know a lot of people. I mean, some of the people can really sell well off of Instagram. Once again, you want to look at what's going to work the best for your platform and your product and your audience. We use it for engagement. It's really great for us to talk to people. I've even found out, like, some like high influencers or whatever, they're more likely to respond to me on Instagram if I have a question than if I would just like ping them on Facebook. So that's it just seems like it's a better place to interact and have engagement. So that's what we use it for. It is really hard to track traffic on Instagram because you only have that one link in the bio, unless you have the, you know, the swipe up and some of the other stuff. But for the smaller businesses, the only way to really track it, and I learned this from my friend Jen Herman, is, you know, use a pretty link or a bit.ly link where you can actually track traffic that way and still have it look good off of Instagram. And that's what we do. And so the funny thing is if those people land on your profile and actually go to your profile and click on that link, that is really qualified traffic because they have gone that distance to do that. And we've actually made sales to our pretty expensive big ticket item for the conference right from the profile page on Instagram, because once again, they get the know, like, and trust factor. And once they're there, they really want to be there. And so keep that in mind when you're trying to, you know, optimize your Instagram profile, is that if they're there, man, they really like your stuff.
Yeah. No, totally. Great point. And Stephanie, talk to us about your use of Instagram, and to that person that is saying a lot of what Jeff just said, you know, it's just an awareness channel. They're really struggling to sell anything off of Instagram. What would you say to that person that's really pushing back?
Oh gosh. You know, when I use Instagram, I use it again to get to really, really know what's going on with my audience. So I use a lot of stories. I'll use the ask a question feature, and I'm like, hey, what are you afraid about using about live video? I'll ask them open-ended questions like, if you did jump on live video, what type of opportunities would that open up for you? And then they just start telling me what they're thinking and their thoughts are. And again, I'm still using that as a part of my sales copy or my FAQs. What's really nice is that anyone that engages with my Instagram, right? In Facebook, I could go ahead and create a custom audience of people that engaged with my Facebook business profile. So then now, if I know that they react to a certain post about like mindset, I could go ahead and retarget them onto Facebook with 5 things that you should know on how to instantly become confident on camera. I know that that's going to go ahead and work, and I could split test that with everything that I'm doing.
Yeah. And, you know, I was going to go back to Janelle's original question about Instagram analytics. She also wanted to know if you favor just simply the native analytics within Instagram or Google. I have a feeling I know your answer just based off of our conversation here today, but your thoughts?
I mean, I like looking at how my audience breaks down on Instagram because I'll get that there. But I also like to take a look at like Google Analytics to see what type of content they're consuming. I'm also interested to know, like, once they hit that one page, are they looking at other content? Because then that gives me an idea of what I could go ahead and share behind the scenes on Instagram. So it's a mix between the two, honestly. I mean, one will give you more information than the other. It really depends on how you want to slice and dice it.
It really does, depending on what you're looking for, because mm-hmm. just looking within your analytics, say within Instagram, you can learn so much about what content people are already engaging with, what's been your top performing content, what are those stories that people are actually paying attention to, and then how can you create more of that. So it definitely does, Janelle, depend on what you're looking to track. But the great news is there's so much data out there. There is so much information that it really helps us see that our audience is out there raising their hand saying, this is what I want from you. And all we have to do is listen and then respond. Yeah, exactly. And Mike, you are, in my opinion, the king of repurposing. And as we talk about, yes, most definitely, we bow. As we talk about social referral traffic and how to get that to convert, what I love about repurposing is we aren't reinventing over and over and over. So we're talking about Facebook and Instagram and Pinterest, and it can feel terribly overwhelming to think about how much content we have to create. Give us some of your tips on how we can take that one piece of content, turn it into multiple pieces of content, and really use that to drive traffic.
Yeah, and this is something Stephanie and I talk about all the time, because I like starting with her favorite medium, which is a live video. Now, full disclosure, that's not necessarily what I do all the time, because I love to write. So I start with the blog post. But for everybody else, particularly if you don't like to write, start with a live video to Facebook specifically, because there are so many wonderful things that will happen just by broadcasting live to Facebook. But once that broadcast ends, now you've got a video. And let's say you brought on a guest, and let's say you talked to that guest for 45 to 60 minutes. An hour's worth of video content is approximately 10,000 words, written down. So you can take that 1 hour video and turn it into a blog post. And there are services you can use like rev.com or was it designer.com that Stephanie's been using that is really fantastic for taking that transcript and turning it into a blog post. And then you can add some additional information, an intro and outro. And now you have, quite frankly, an epic piece of content that you can publish to your blog, but you don't have to stop there. You can take that piece of content and you can turn it into a SlideShare presentation. And maybe that sounds like a lot of work, but it's not. All you need are two slides, a beginning intro slide and an end slide. And in the middle of that slide, you can take that Facebook video and upload it to YouTube. And now you can embed that YouTube video in the middle of that slideshow. So now you have a SlideShare presentation that's really just your video housed between a couple of slides that didn't take you but 10 minutes to create. And you can put a link to the blog post or a link to the YouTube video or a link to the Facebook video, whatever you want to do. I tend to promote the blog post because that gets them onto my website. But you don't have to stop there. You can take the Facebook video again, go back to that video, and you can chop it up. And you can create all these wonderful little pieces of content that can go back to Facebook, they can go up to Twitter, they can go to Instagram, they can go to YouTube as little bites if you want to, and they can go to LinkedIn. You can go up to 10 minutes of video to LinkedIn. There's our friend Rob Balsabas from Thinkific is doing a 5-day LinkedIn challenge. Well, do that interview and now you've got multiple videos that you can upload to your LinkedIn profile. LinkedIn really likes video these days. So those are going to overperform. And you can use the Headliner app to take those videos and convert them into different sizes, right? Because we want square videos if we're going to do the Instagram feed, but we also want tall videos if we're going to do stories. So you can take that single Facebook video, maybe just a snippet of it where, like, you know, somebody's talking, your guest is talking, you want to shine the spotlight on them, take just their head in a tall format, in a portrait format, and upload that to Instagram and Facebook as story content. And while you're on Headliner, take the audio and make an audiogram, which is just a video basically, but now you've got a graphic and you've got subtitle captions and you're using, again, just a snippet of their text. But wait, there's more.
Oh,
take
my God.
That audio and turn it into a podcast.
Yes.
If you do a show, if you do a series of these, you don't want to do just one, but if you do a series of these, and maybe you're going through Stephanie's mastermind where she's teaching you how to do a Facebook Live show, you can take each one of those shows and strip out the audio, add an intro and an outro and maybe a bumper in the middle and upload those to iTunes. It's super easy to sign up for a Libsyn account. Rebecca, I know you do this, and you upload that edited, finished audio product to Libsyn and it pushes it out to Google Play and Stitcher and iTunes. And now you've got a podcast and you're reaching millions of people potentially with that one piece of content.
Yeah, brilliant. And I'll give you one other little tip on that too, that is so, it seems techie, but it's so easy. So you've got your video and you want to transcribe that video because you've got those 10,000 words you're talking about. I love the tool anchor.fm, which will turn your audio into a transcript and then into a video visual. So you can just export audio only out of your video, upload it into anchor.fm. It will transcribe that entire thing for you. My team grabs that, drops that into a doc, and then we can just, you know, manipulate that a little bit so it actually looks decent, and turn that into a variety of pieces of content, everything from social posts to blogs. So yeah, really the sky is the limit with the tools that are out there and available to us. And it just simplifies. It simplifies everything that we're doing. So instead, I look at it from a strategic point of view. Instead of thinking, how am I going to create 25 pieces of content? Instead, you think about, how do I create one epic piece of content that I can then just pull little pieces of that out? I also love Adobe Spark. I have great success with taking those pieces of content, putting them into video form with Adobe Spark, where you can just do a quick little voiceover. So, yeah. So many amazing ideas. And Jeff, I'm going to circle back around to you again with Pinterest, because Pinterest is always kind of my next level as well when we're talking about how to repurpose content. There are so many creative ways, and you've talked about a few of them already, but what other creative ways can we use Pinterest as an extension of everything else that we're doing, but also as a great way to test a variety of content?
Right. And I want to, Mike said, you know, that's how I got my gig at Social Media Examiner, is that I was on, back in the day, the Google Hangout shows, and Mike was actually one of my, he was on the Manly Pinterest Tip show back in the Google Plus Hangout days. And I, from the get-go, had repurposed that as a podcast. And that's what got me in with Social Media Examiner, is that I had a podcast and I had this show that I was doing. And so, and we always are trying to crank out content so much. And I think Mike, and your point, Rebecca, is to step back and actually squeeze every last drop of content we can out of the content we made before we move on to the next thing, because we're, you know, just really getting the most of, out of it we can. Now, to your point about Pinterest, the thing that's exciting about it for me the most right now is they have a new thing called video pins, which actually allow you upload like the story format on Pinterest. And the best way I could say it is, if you ever watched the Harry Potter movies and you've seen like the newspapers where the images are moving and you're like, it catches your eye. Well, that's what video pins are on Pinterest. When you're scrolling through the feed on mobile, it'll be moving and you're like, well, this is really, and you tap on it and it plays the video full screen. And so I'm really excited to test those out. They have that open to everybody now. And Square Video works really well as the story kind of format. So that's really cool. And the other thing a lot of people don't know is that YouTube videos play natively in Pinterest. So you could have a board of your entire show or all your Facebook lives that you take and repurpose and upload to YouTube. Well, you can put those in a board where all your show is laid out, where people who really like your content can go in and watch it natively on Pinterest without, just by clicking it and watching it and doing it that way. So that's some great stuff here. I've learned a lot from Stephanie, because she is like the master repurposer of video. And so I love watching her stuff. We've used some of her like tactics over on Social Media Examiner. So she does some great stuff. Yeah.
Well,
I'm so happy.
I think the point here is why constantly go back and reinvent when you can learn? You can learn from your users or from your customers exactly what they're looking for. And you can do what you're doing, Stephanie, which is just repurposing out all of that video. Tell us a little bit about how you are using your videos.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Are you guys ready for this? Cause I'm about to like geek out with you. I'm going to tell you like my favorite tools. There's this complete system that I'm sharing with my crew, but I like want to roll up my sleeves. Okay.
We're ready. Bring it on.
There's this website called repurpose.io. And here's what happens, you guys. If you wanted to, if you went live on Facebook, repurpose.io will automatically take that live video and upload it over to YouTube. If you wanted, you could have an intro and an outro automatically added to that YouTube video already done by repurpose.io. The other cool thing that repurpose.io will do is that it'll take that live video and save it into a Dropbox. Cool, right? The next tool that I have is called designer.io. It's D-E-S-I-G-N. rr.io. They always like to spell it funky. Go fig. Okay. So designer.io, once they know, Rebecca, that you have a video in Dropbox, it'll automatically take that video, create a transcript. So you have your blog post. It'll create an SRT file, which you could go ahead and optimize your videos on both Facebook and on YouTube, right? And then if you wanted to, you could take that transcript, turn it into an ebook or a PDF. If you want to go ahead and start selling your books on Amazon Kindle, you absolutely can, right? And then it'll go ahead and actually take the image that you created and turn it and mock it up into like a 3D book, whether it's a hardback or a paperback. So there's this whole system. You go live once and boom, it automatically does it for you. It's insane. It's bananas.
Well, and what I love about both of those tools is they are very low tech. You do not have to be a designer to use those. You don't have to have a background in graphic design. You don't have to spend a ton of time. Oh my gosh, I just think of the amount of time we have spent in the past creating these beautiful ebooks or PDFs or, you know, downloads, whatever they were in the day, where these both of these programs just make it so incredibly simple, to repurpose that content in a really beautiful way without all of the heavy lifting that we used to have to do, or the big budgets too, because think of all the different people that had to be a part of that process as well.
Yeah. And, you know, I learned from Jeff, like, whenever you have a blog post, make as many different Pinterest pins that you could go ahead and test out. Well, if my team is already doing that, I already know that I have an image for my ebook cover photo. So it's a complete no-brainer, and it makes it so simple and super easy.
Yeah. So we've got another great question, and it leads us into what we're talking about here, which is tools, always my favorite topic. Diana wants to know, what social media schedulers do we use? And actually, I'd like you to talk about your top three favorite tools as it relates to social media, data analytics, everything that we've kind of gone through here today. Do you have any additional, Stephanie, beyond what you've already shared?
Well, Mike already stole my other answer, headliner.app, which I absolutely love. Anchor is now something that I want to test out for more visual content. The one that I've been playing around with, and this stems from my interview with Jeff, was I wanted to use a program called Flixel, which will make those cinemagraphs. So back to what he was saying about like the Harry Potter thing, but it's like a still image. But then let's say it's me holding a PDF. I'm staying still, but the PDF pages are just like flipping. And that's something that I want to test out on Pinterest, because I think it will stand out from everything else that's out there.
Yeah, definitely catch your eye. That's for sure.
And you can upload those. That would be an animated GIF, and those work. Those play as well automatically on Pinterest.
That's
what I was thinking. Yeah, I was thinking of a designer. Designer will automatically make the flip book, and then I make it into a pin. And I was like, you guys, this is like 10x my content.
There you go. Yeah, well, 10x and stand out, do something nobody else is doing, and test that in a different format on a different channel too than you might have formerly thought to use something like that on Pinterest. So Jeff, what else? What are your favorite tools that you're using these days?
So, you know, everybody, one of the things on visual marketing is, you know, okay, how do we create images easily and not have to be a Photoshop nerd? I'm a Photoshop nerd, so I love using it. But you mentioned Spark, which is a great one to use. Canva is great. Everybody hits it really hard, though. I mean, they're a great service. It can create some great graphics. But a lot of times I'll be going through Pinterest and I can scroll through the feed and go, oh, there's a Canva pin. Oh, there's another Canva pin. And so what I always recommend for people who are trying to create images quickly is there's a way on Canva you can open up two different pages. And so drag a design that you like, a template you like, to one, and do another one that you like to another one, and then swap up the fonts. Make it look different. Just do that much work so you're changing it up, because most people won't do that. And you want to stand out in the feed. And so that's the other one. The other real cool tool that I'm using right now in that same line is a tool called Easel, and it's spelled E-A-S-I-L. And they have some great templates too. And it's actually like Canva and with like these designers, but they have tons of Instagram story templates, which everybody wants to do Instagram stories. And they're kind of like, what do I do? You know, these are some great tools that you can use to create some really cool Instagram story graphics right there. I mean, they have like takeover ones, you know, product ones for your Instagram story. So it's just really, really cool. Scheduling, there's a bunch of different, if you want to like dive into scheduling stuff, Tailwind's a great thing. It's got a bunch of great analytics on it. Buffer is another one. You know, so there's things out there, but one of the whatever you do with this scheduling questions, you want to make sure you're consistent and that you're putting out content, you know, on a regular basis. And now, you know, with all the stuff Stephanie and Mike have given you, you should know all these.
That's right. Well, and Tailwind for, we've talked a lot about Pinterest and Instagram. The beautiful part about that is it tells you, it goes, you know, based off of your data, what are your best times to post? And you can kind of front load all of that content, get that in there so that you are consistent instead of feeling like you're rolling out of bed and trying to figure out what the heck am I going to pin today or what am I going to share on Instagram?
Right. And you can also, the biggest thing, and this goes back to what we've been talking about before, is your audience. If you notice your audience is pinning something to a certain board and continually doing stuff, I'm going to quote Peg Fitzpatrick, you know, how do you feed that content monster? And so getting that kind of analytics, whatever, you know, if you're doing it with Google or with whatever software tool like Tailwind, if you can see where your audience is, you know, if they're pinning a lot of stuff on my woodworking board or on my Pinterest tips board, I'm like, okay, I need to make more content that fits in that because that's what they're wanting right now. And a lot of times it'll be seasonally, especially on Pinterest. And being able to dial into what's working is super important.
I'm going to ask you one quick question before we move on to Mike and his tool suggestions. You talk about seasonality, and that is incredibly important when we're thinking about social conversions and really understanding what seasons, what dates, what events are important to your audience. And I think Pinterest gives us a very unique way to share those.
Right. And one of the things about Pinterest, you know, think of when Walmart's coming out with all the Halloween stuff, how early that is. Well, take that another month for Pinterest, because that's how far ahead you need to really go, because it really is driven seasonally to Pinterest pin. So like I started pinning like Super Bowl party stuff months ago, because I knew it was going to ramp up for this weekend, and then I can do stuff in that way. Another great tip, and I learned this from Mike, was what he calls newsjacking. And just for an example, just recently, like I think it's today or yesterday, was like Facebook's anniversary. And so you saw all these people, and even big organizations like The Verge and everything like that, really focusing in and driving content and creating articles about that. Is Facebook good? What's, you know, how do you use it? Should we not use it? And so they were, the whole consciousness was getting behind that piece of news. And Mike, I think you even have a great article about how to do that on your site. And it's some great ideas. If you can see what's coming, like, you know, even if it's like, you know, like national, whatever, friend day or, you know, clean up. We did one at Social Media Examiner. It was like, it was National Clean Out Your Desk Day or Clean Up Your Desk Day. And so we took a picture of Mike Stelzner's desk with all his Zevia cans on it. And it was funny and it worked and it tied into that consciousness. But that's another great thing you can do with any channel.
Yeah. you make me think of just so many different days. National Chocolate Day, right. National Wine Day. I will celebrate all the days.
Pirate Day. Yeah. Pirate Day. What are you going to do? So,
yes. So, Mike, I have a sneaking suspicion. I know what your favorite social media scheduler is going to be. But yeah, I know. Big secret. But yeah, give us some more of your favorite tools.
Yeah, I've got some great tools. And thanks, Jeff, for giving me the shout out about newsjacking. I got to admit, I didn't invent that term. That was my friend David Meerman Scott. And I was so tickled to see him post on Instagram the other day that the term newsjacking was a Jeopardy question. So just imagine that you invented a word and a Jeopardy question now. He was so thrilled with that. I was happy for him. But yeah, I love that technique. I definitely can share resources if people want to know how to use that. But when it comes to tools, yeah, my favorite tool is AgoraPulse. That was the easy answer. I also use Tailwind, which we mentioned, because Tailwind is fantastic for Pinterest, and AgoraPulse supports all the other networks. But here's the thing, Diana, for you and for anyone else who's wondering, you know, okay, what tool should I use? You know, what we use is great, but that may not be the best tool for you. So first you want to think about how many social profiles are you actually using? Many of the networks like Facebook, they've got scheduling built in. And so if you're only focused on one network, you don't need a high-end tool. You don't need a AgoraPulse. You could use the native network if it has that capability, or a simple tool like a Buffer, which is great. it's only when you begin to add multiple profiles that you want to add a tool and almost kind of disconnect yourself a little bit from the network. Because when you're using a tool, that's great, but it's less likely you're going to be as involved in that network. So I still spend a lot of time on Facebook. I still spend a lot of time on Twitter, manually tweeting back and answering questions and replying to people, even though I can see a lot of the data and I can schedule the activity in AgoraPulse. Being in the weeds, in the trenches, is so good for your personal understanding of what's going on and your brand presence. So to answer the question, AgoraPulse and Tailwind are the two big tools that I use. And I also use SEMrush for the social, which is pretty cool because they have some great competitive analysis. I can see how I'm doing. I can benchmark my activity across multiple networks against multiple competitors. And that's a really insightful piece of information.
Great stuff. All right. Well, believe it or not, an hour has flown by. We had a really hard time filling that 60-minute space, but you guys were amazing. Thank you so much to each and every one of you. Mike, real quick, tell us if people want to connect with you, where can they find you?
I am the Blogging Brute, so bloggingbrute.com and Blogging Brute everywhere.
Excellent. Stephanie, how about you?
You can find me at lightscameralive.com.
And Jeff?
I'm Jeff C. across the internet webs, I before E, especially in C. And I'm always at mainlypinteresttips.com, where we're adding testosterone one pin at a time.
Thank you for joining Jeff on his mission to help you be successful in the Pinterest world. Would you like to take part in a live show? Be sure to join Jeff's email community at manlypinteresttips.com. Adding testosterone, one pin at a time.